Okay, today we're talking with Cinderella lead singer and guitar player Tom Kiefer. Now, how are you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And of course, the reason we're talking to you today is, of course, you've just released a new solo album, your very first ever, The Way Life Goes. And I understand this has been an album that's been in the making for a real long time, partly due to you being diagnosed with a paralyzed vocal cord. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, that certainly got in the way of a lot of things, being a singer. I've been struggling with that since the early 90s. And the record has been in the making from, the inception of it was really in the mid-90s, and that's when I started to write for it. But it kept getting put on the back burner for whatever reason for years and years, but I had all these songs building up, and I eventually started recording it in 2003, and we produced it independently of a label, but never planned on taking 10 years to make the record. But since there wasn't a deadline or a release date, there wasn't any pressure. And it was really, the project was about just making, the best music we could. So that's what we did, and woke up one day 10 years later and felt like it was done. So.
And now let me ask you, compared to all the albums you've done before, like with Cinderella, this being your first solo album, where everything's on you, what was that like for you? I mean, like, in Cinderella, you have three other guys to lean on, but, all the writing, everything, as far as how the record turned out, was on you. What was that like?
Well, I wrote almost 100% of the material in Cinderella. I was the lead singer and did a lot of the guitar work. So, in terms of just, the difference, I had session musicians that came in to play songs that I had already written, so it was similar in that sense in terms of just work. I didn't play the drums and the bass and I didn't do all that on this record. I had other musicians come in and help me with that. So obviously it was a different process because with Cinderella we've been together for years and worked together, and there was a different chemistry, I guess, in the studio, and it was just a little bit different in that sense, working with different musicians. But I didn't record all the tracks on this, and I just did guitars and vocals, so.
Okay, and, talk a little bit about the problems you have with your voice. Off and on, you said since, I think, 94. While you were making this album, did you ever have any fears of that you'd lose your voice again? Or, like, did you go in the studio every day, like, we're going to try to record as many songs as we can just in case problems arise again?
Well, the whole time I was making the record, I was having a lot of trouble with my voice, so the record was really a lot of blind faith involved in it, because we didn't know if I was going to be able to sing the material, and I was just really doing whatever I could in the studio to get the vocals out that I was hearing in my head, and spent a lot of time on getting those down on tape, and didn't know if I'd ever be able to really perform them because I was struggling with this condition. And also, we didn't know if the record was ever going to get picked up by a label or released, so the whole thing was a leap of faith the whole time. And since then, my voice has really stabilized. I've worked with a lot of coaches, and I'm out performing now like half the record live along with Cinderella stuff, so my voice is feeling really good. And then the record did get picked up by a label, and they've released it, and they're doing a good, really great job with the marketing. So.
And let me ask you.
It all worked out.
I'm really happy because, I'm a real huge fan of yours, and and I think, the fact that, your last album came out almost 20 years ago, I mean, this is one album that really was well worth the wait, I think, because, it sounds like a Tom Kiefer album, if you know what I mean, and every song on this really stands out. I mean, I like everything on here, starting with Solid Ground, and then, you have Thick and Thin, and Ask Me Yesterday. Do you have a favorite song off of this album?
It's hard to pick because they're all pretty different from each other. I like Solid Ground a lot, and I also like the Flower Song, which is the other single that we have out now. Probably the most unique, maybe there's one that I'm, the most proud of would be Different Light, because it's probably the song that's the most different for me in terms of the production and the vibe on that song, and I went a little outside my box a little bit on that one, and I'm proud of that one.
No, it's funny you say that, because that's actually like one of my favorite songs off the album. I mean, that's one I really just dug right away, and like I said, I think it's because it's so different from anything you've done for. It's almost it's a cross between, you know, almost like a real great ballad and a little bit of country in there.
Yeah, it definitely has a different vibe, and the production is a little different from what I've done in the past.
And let me ask you, where all these, because I know I've heard that, you know, you're always writing songs, but I was just curious, are any of these songs like stuff that you've had laying around for years, or was everything written specifically for this album?
Well, when I write, I don't write specifically for an album. I write because I get an inspiration to write about something, and then a lot of times the songs just end up in a pile somewhere in the back of my mind waiting for, you know, a project to come up or something where I need songs. And, you know, it's always been Cinderella Records prior to this. So I started writing for it in the mid-90s, and like I said, it just kept getting put on the back burner, and the songs were piling up, and when I finally started to decide to make a solo record, I had a lot of songs to choose from. So,
and let me ask you, Tom, like, you know, the problems you were having with your voice, like you said, you've had a lot of help from voice coaches and stuff, but like once they, I understand it took them a while to diagnose what the actual problem was, but once it was diagnosed, did they ever kind of find out what actually was causing the problem?
Did they ever find out what was causing it?
Well, I mean, from what I understand, I've heard you in other interviews saying it was like a paralyzed vocal cord. But
yeah, it's that my left vocal cord has a partial paralysis, and the medical term for that is called a paresis. And it's when the neuropath from the brain doesn't get the message, you know, full strength to the muscle. So it's like the same thing as like when someone's arm is paralyzed, or if they're partially paralyzed, you know, they don't have the mobility that they used to have, or there's different degrees of it. Mine's a partial, but in the singing voice, the left side not responding as quickly and as accurately as the right side wreaks havoc in your voice because it needs to be symmetrical. And it's a condition that most singers don't come back from, and there's no medical cure in terms of a surgery or a medicine that you can take really to cure it. Your only hope is to work with coaches and speech pathologists and try to train it back.
Okay, yeah, I guess that's kind of what I was asking is, like, how do you prevent it, you know, from coming back or, you know, getting...
Well, it's always there. It's just learning how to teach the muscles to compensate in the right way to make up for the loss in the signal. So it's constant therapy every day. I was actually right in the middle of it when you called. I do about an hour and a half every day, rain or shine, whether I got a show or not. You know, it's just something that I have to do.
And
you know, there was years where I was struggling with even being able to sing because it's not an exact science, and training it and teaching it, and a lot of people aren't able to. And I stuck with it for years and just kept changing coaches and learning anything I could here or there about the condition and voice technique and how to maximize what I had. And over the years, since the early 90s, it's gotten stronger and stronger and more consistent. And, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, it's the strongest that it's been. It's, in some ways, it's stronger than it was before the problem, but there were years I couldn't sing at all, and I was just struggling with it and trying to figure out how to.
Well, and I imagine when you know when you're playing a live show of it, you know, you're singing at a much higher range than like you are in the recording studio. So, is part of keeping your voice good? Do you have to like schedule only so many shows? You know, allow you know take a certain number of days off to allow your voice to rest.
Yeah, I try not to do more than 5 shows a week. And I don't ever do any more than 4 in a row, which is not my preference, but sometimes the routing, that's how it works out. But no more than 5 a week.
And on the solo tour, what's it been like? Again, because, you know, like, usually when you go out, you're going out with Cinderella, and you got 3 other guys in the band to lean on. But, you know, everybody's eyes, I guess, are on you now. And not that they weren't before, but you know what I mean? It's all the time Keeper show. So what's that been like for you?
It was kind of weird the first night walking out on stage, but by halfway through the set, you know, once the adrenaline kicks in and the audience and all, you know, you're playing music, you know, and I've been playing music since I was a teenager, and I've played with a lot of different musicians and bands and stuff over the years, so, you know, it's a different vibe than, you know, with Cinderella, and, you know, it took a while for the solo band to But, you know, that, we all had to ease into that. You know, we didn't really know each other that well. Like Cinderella had to, and just like all the bands I played in before Cinderella. So, but yeah, the first night or so was kind of weird.
And I understand that you've been living in Nashville for a couple, for a few years now. Is that where you hooked up with the other guys in your band?
Yeah, they're all from here.
Okay, and what's Nashville like? I understand, you know, there are a lot of rock guys moving down there, John Corabi and a couple other guys that I listen to.
It's a very inspirational town for music. There's just so many great songwriters here, and musicians, and studios, and producers, engineers. You know, it really is, you know, they call it Music City, and it really is. I think per capita here, there's more musical talent than you find anywhere. It's pretty amazing.
And let me ask you, Tom, you know, Cinderella has been, you know, been around for over, you know, close over 25, 30 years now. Are you surprised, even though you guys have only put out like 4 studio albums, are you surprised at how much your body of work has lasted these years? I mean, you know, you're still hearing all those songs on the radio and everything, and it just amazes me that, you know, there are some bands that have put out more albums than Cinderella, but just your guys' body of work, it seems to have really stood the test of time.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when you're making the records, you hope for that. You don't expect it. So that's certainly, it's not a given, you know, but that's going to happen. So being years from it now and looking back and seeing that the music's still being played and that we can still tour, you know, pretty successfully out there, and our fans still come out to see us, it's not only surprising, but it's, you know, it's something I feel really fortunate and grateful for, you know, that's still been able to, you know, we have incredible fans, so it's a nice thing.
You know,
like I said, when you're back years ago, when you're making those records and we're just getting started, you know, none of that's a given, you know, that's just what the stars aligning, the right music, the right time, you know, it's so, you know, feel very fortunate.
And you know, like, going back to even when Night Songs was first released, you know, a lot of people felt you guys had kind of overnight success, but you'd been playing in the clubs for, you know, a few years before that, right?
Oh, yeah, I started playing guitar when I was 8, and I started playing professionally when I was in high school, playing, you know, the Philadelphia and South Jersey club circuit, you know, 5 nights a week while I was still going to school. So that was not a lot of sleep then, so...
Yeah, of course, everybody knows the story of how, you know, Bon Jovi helped you guys get a record deal, but I was curious, how did you guys meet him? Did he just come into a club one day and see you guys?
Yeah, he dropped into the Empire Rock Club, which was one of the clubs that we played. There were only 2 that we played in that area, because there was only 2 that would let you play all original music, which is what we were at that point by the time Cinderella was formed. And he was there recording his second record, 7800 degrees Fahrenheit. And he came, but, you know, we didn't know he was there when we were playing. He came back after the show to the dressing room and just said he really liked the show. And we kind of knew who he was because Runaway was a hit at the time. It was his first single, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's that guy that's on MTV, you know, cool. And he just said he liked the show. And our manager had already gotten our demo tape to his A&R person at Polygram Records. And he was riding the fence about it, and I don't really blame him because we were really green in the studio and our demos were pretty bad. And apparently a couple days after John saw us, he walked into Derek Shulman's office, that's the A&R guy, and said that he just saw this band in Philadelphia that he really liked, and, you know, said it was Cinderella, and Derek said, you know, yeah, I've got the demo here, I'm not sure about it. And John said, just forget the demo and go see him live, so... He's certainly, you know, will be forever grateful for that sentence that he said, just forget the demo and go see him live. That definitely could have been the X factor for us. Derek came out and saw the band, and he liked what he saw, but in typical A&R guy fashion, he wasn't convinced, and he signed us to a 6-month developmental deal at that point and paid for some more demos, and then he eventually signed us to a full record deal, but certainly, you know, what John said to him that day in the office, you know, if you take that out of the equation, then who knows where we'd be now, so very grateful for that.
Well, I got to tell you, Tom, you know, you've been one of my favorite, you know, all-time musicians. I mean, because you're really a well-rounded musician in the fact that, you know, you're a great singer, songwriter. You can play the, you know, you play the piano, the guitar. I was curious, what comes easy? I mean, did you start out on the piano or the guitar first?
Guitar.
Okay, and you just got into playing the piano to help you with your, I guess, songwriting?
Yeah, piano I was kind of self-taught. I took lessons for a little bit, but then I just picked that up by ear more. I don't, you know, I'm not really classically trained or anything in that. I've always played that by ear. And most of the guitar that I do is by ear, too. You know, I'd had lessons when I was, like, 8 and learned some, you know, basic chords and strumming along and singing songs with a teacher that used to come to the house. But once I wanted to play rock and I started hearing Zeppelin and Aerosmith and Rod Stewart and all that stuff, you know, but most rock guitarists, you listen to the records and you figure it out. And that, you know, some self-taught on all that stuff and the blues and all that.
I mean, even one thing I always dug about your playing, like in Cinderella, is like even if you look at the videos or even when you guys are performing live, you're one of the guys that is always all over the stage. I mean, I've read articles where people, you know, mistakenly thought you were the lead guitar player just because, you know, the way you play, and like I said, you're all over the stage.
I did a lot of the solo stuff on the records and live, so Jeff and I always split that up.
And so how did you guys split up the, I mean, he just played most of the lead stuff because again, you know, you're just a very, you know, all-rounded guitar player. Like I said, you're always all over the stage, and a lot of times, you know, it's almost like you're, you know, you're the main guy.
Well, I was a guitar player before I was a singer, you know, and all the club bands and cover bands that I was in before that, I played guitar. So guitar was my first love and you know, the first instrument that I tried to master, you know, starting at 8 years old. So I always considered myself a guitar player first. And I'd sing, I was the guy in the cover band, and when the singer wanted to take a break, I'd come out and sing a few songs. But I never really put a lot of time into developing my voice as a lead singer at that point in time because I was a guitarist. So I had plenty of time to develop my guitar chops, you know, with all that, you know, listening to, you know, playing all those covers and stuff. And when it came time to start writing music, there wasn't anybody around whose voice I felt was distinct or sounded right for what I was writing, and I started to sing myself and started to develop my voice a little bit more. And that's something that's been ongoing over the years in terms of developing it. But guitar came first for me, so that almost feels more natural even than the singing.
And obviously, you know, part of the reason you've been so successful throughout your career is because you're such a great songwriter. I mean, you know, you listen to anything, be it a anything off this new album or even a Cinderella album, you can tell it was written by Tom Kiefer, and you could tell that you're a guy that was influenced, like you said, by Aerosmith, the Stones, and the blues. How old were you when you first started, you know, writing songs?
Well, I remember writing a bunch of songs. You know, when I was really young, I loved, you know, I remember, I mean, I'm talking really young, like 7 or 8 years old when I first started playing guitar. You know, I saw the Beatles on TV, and I liked that show, The Monkees. I used to watch that all the time. And I remember writing songs as early back as then. You know, I would try to imitate their lyrics and melody styles and chords and stuff. But I didn't really, really, I guess, get serious about, you know, I got away from it and started learning covers and then got into cover bands and stuff. But I started seriously writing songs. I was probably about 19 or 20 when I started writing the songs that ultimately ended up on the Cinderella records.
Yeah, because, you know, I put you right up there with, you know, guys like Pete Townsend. I mean, I love guys that, like, are real storytellers. I mean, you listen to any of your songs, and you can tell that they're written from the heart, and, you know, I can almost think that, you know, it's written from some life experience of yours. I mean, one of my all-time favorite Cinderella songs, probably one of the lesser-known ones, off of Still Climbing, it's called Hard to Find the Words, and I believe that was about your mother passing away, is that correct?
Yeah, I wrote it for her while she was sick. She had cancer, and it was just, you know, my way of telling her how I felt.
Yeah, and so let me ask you, Tom, in regards to the current tour and that, are you really surprised? I mean, when this album was first released, Were you really surprised with all the great reviews you were getting and everything?
Say that one more time. I didn't quite catch what you said.
Well, I was asking, you know, like, again, this is your first album that you've released in almost 20 years, and I was just curious if when you first released the album, how surprised were you with all the great reviews you were getting?
Oh, just, you know, that's what you hope for, right? So, it's nice to read, you know, all that, and you know, it's, yeah, that's surprising, and, you know, it's welcome. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you definitely, that's what you want to hear when you've spent, you know, years on a record. You know, you don't want to spend 10 years making a record. You definitely don't want to hear that it's horrible, so it's very nice to hear.
Yeah, and I know you shot a video for, of course, Solid Ground. Do you have any other plans to make any more videos?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we will. We're just starting to talk about a couple ideas for some other songs, so we'll get to those soon, I'm sure.
And so, of course, this album just came out in April, so I imagine you're still working the album, and but you've been touring for the last year or so. So, have you even began to think about beginning writing for the next album?
No, not really. I kind of just want to see where this one heads, you know. And writing isn't—it's just something that just happens, yeah. You know. You get these creative periods of time where you just write, and so, you know, if a song idea pops into my head, I'll write it, you know. But it's not usually with a record in mind.
And then, of course, the last thing I wanted to ask you in regards to Cinderella. I know for years the reason you guys haven't released a new album is that you signed some kind of bad record deal with Sony Music, and that ended up in litigation. Do they own the rights to that album that you guys recorded? Or
The album never got recorded.
Oh, it never got recorded.
I never even got that far, so...
Oh, okay.
So no, they don't.
Oh, okay, and so I guess my question was... do you think there's any chance that you guys would ever want to record any new Cinderella music, or do you think you'd be happy?
It's not for a lack of desire on our part. Uh-huh. It's more, you know, the circumstances that we've had. You know, we when our deal with Mercury ended in the mid-90s after Still Climbing, obviously that was not news that any of us wanted to take, and we drifted apart for a while, and then we were offered the Sony deal. And, you know, big label coming in, and so they're going to, like, you know, breathe the life back into us and do it right and all this stuff. And then signed the deal, and it turned out to not be really what their intention was. They just wanted to bang it out quick, I guess, and not, you know, it just wasn't what...
And, you know, like I think...
I thought it was going to be, and it got ugly and got into the courts and all. And, you know, it's just more about us, you know, the right opportunity... the right deal getting put in place for us where we feel like we're going to get the chance to make, you know, a record with a company that takes it seriously, so.
And if and when that time comes, do you think you'd be able to do both Cinderella and continuing to release your own solo music?
Well, I would never work on two projects like that at the same time, but, you know, I'm sure... It's possible, you know, other people do it, but I like to focus on one thing at a time, so...
No, yeah, obviously, I mean, I was just saying, you think, though, you'd be able to, like...
There's, we'll see what the future holds for that situation, and we'll take it from there.
Well, either way, Tom, let me just, once again, thank you for taking time to do this. I really appreciate this, and I really enjoyed the album, you know, the whole thing from start to finish. There's not a bad album on here, so... I want to tell people that if you haven't picked it up yet, I know you get it on Amazon, you can get it, I've seen it in Walmart and Best Buy, so it's out there, so I suggest people really go and pick up the album, because it's you know, it was well worth the 20-year wait.
Yeah, well, thank you, I appreciate that.
Okay, thanks again, my friend, and please keep in touch.
Well, thank you, my friend, you have a good day.
You too, thanks again, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.